We love Queen. Do you love Queen? Just realising the connection there. Radio Gaga, good morning to you. I'm in the studio, but not that one over in Dartington. I'm in Totnes.
Ruth!
Broadcasting from 58 4 Street. So a very, very good morning to all our bright and lovely and breezy listeners in the Totnes and Dartington area. And if you clicked online, hey, thanks so much for that. We have got a stonking programme for you. Because what's not to love? Sam Richards, composer, our local hero. He's going to be talking all about the gigs, the sessions at Ashburton Arts Centre. I'll be giving you all the information, but get your tickets. It's the 2nd, it's the 9th, it's the 16th, it's the 23rd, it's the 30th at 4 o'clock. So more will be revealed from Sam. And then we have, well, no, hang on a second. I've completely missed her off the list. I'm so sorry. Oh, Sarah Louise Connolly. She's allowed to, admonish me severely when she comes here on Saturday. So she's our roving reporter. And she is talking with Sarah Jane Gresty at the Waterman's Arms. Now, that would really confuse me because, of course, Sarah Louise Connolly and Sarah Jane Gresty, they did it on purpose to really fox me. So we'll be getting them. That's the first interview we'll be putting out there. But on the programme today, we've also got four sensational artists, Beausence, D'Souza, Reagan. Got to get that right. So four visual artists explore their relationships to nature, identify and consciousness, exhibiting in the atmospheric setting of the Angel Gallery. Ooh, fab. So we'll be getting them on the air. And then last but not least, we shall have Kachagori from the Moscow Drug Club. Ooh. In fact, I've got something to play. Let's have a go with her. Come on, Katya. Give it your best.
Underneath the grey streets, where the grey people walk, there's a small secret nightclub where subversives sit and talk. The blue.
Hey Katya, you're catchy, aren't you? So transcendent troubadours of gypsy, cabaret and swing, combining original material with songs by the likes of Jacques Brel, Tom Waits, Leonard Cohen and Eartha Kitt, and they're going to be here Friday the 7th of October, 8 p.m. I'm definitely going to that. Tracy Gillies, you're amazing to put us together. This is definitely my type of music. So we better get on with the show, but Kapchagori, that was very, very catchy. Right. Okay, Sarah Louise Connolly, I'm just wondering if are you ready? Catch is willing to go to sleep for a little while now. Okay, put her to bed. Not for too long, because she's coming on the programme. Have a little snooze, okay? There, she's snoozing now. Okay, Sarah Louise Connolly, do your thing, please.
Yeah, you put the coffee, you put the beans up in the grinder. You put the beans, goddammit, in the grinder. You put the beans in the grinder. You pop the beans up inside the grinder. You grind it up, and then you put a little grounds in the filter. You put the coffee down in the filter, and then you put the filter up in the top of the coffee maker. Gotta get that drip, gotta drip, 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 a drip, a drip, a drip, drip, drip. Got to drip, a drip, a drip, drip, drip. Gotta drip, baby, drip. Then you put it in your cup.
So we're sat here in the September sun by the glistening water. It's truly beautiful in this little creek just outside Totnes. I'm here at the Waterman's Arms in Bow Creek with one of the strongest and loveliest people I know, Sarah Gresty.
Hiya.
Good morning, Sarah. Always been a publican?
I have.
Ever since the word go?
Ever since the word, since I was 15, I started working in pubs, and then I ended up with Les, who also had pubs, so there we...
Always been pubs. It's always been pubs. And how long have you had the Waterman's?
We've had the Waterman's 10 years now.
And what are the best and worst parts of the job?
Finding staff lately.
Oh, that's the worst part.
That's the worst part.
Trying to find staff.
Yeah.
Good, reliable staff.
And the best part is just being with different people every day.
The crack.
Yeah.
So do you like going to other pubs, or is it like when you work in a sweet shop and you just like go completely off sweets?
Absolutely not. That's our time to play out. I like to go to other pubs too on our night off.
Yeah. And this pub is popular obviously with tourists and locals alike, and your gigs have a great atmosphere. The Irish nights in particular are a real party. Have you got any coming up?
Yeah, we have one coming up on the 28th. We're doing a Halloween night. The 28th of October, we're doing a Halloween night, and yeah, it's £100 for the best fancy dress.
Oh, wow, yep. Brilliant. So you get yourself dressed up, you might win £100. Prep your liver now. Start prepping your liver now, I warn you people. And your dancing shoes, because their parties are a real party. So as we go into October, obviously, it's going to be colder nights and high tides. And you get some cool flooding here across the road, don't you? I've seen
we
people
do.
In canoes and
we
things.
We do. There's canoes. The waiters have to put their welly boots on and serve people through the water. And during the winter nights, we're thinking of doing movie nights up in the top tier.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a projector, and we're doing all movies and have pizzas on and things like that.
Oh, awesome. And in the actual pub also, don't you have a proper peat fire?
We have a proper peat fire, and we're doing pub quizzes once a month in the pub. So it's for locals.
Yeah, yeah, awesome.
Yeah, it's good fun.
Awesome. So here's a question that I hadn't written down that's just come to me. So last week, Joe from Love Frankie and the shop in the High Street and myself, we did a style awards for like the most stylish person in Totnes. So this time I was thinking, we like an artist on Sound Art Radio. So who would you say out of the locals is the biggest beep artist?
Oh my God.
Can you name a name?
No, I will not. Never.
What happens in the Waterman's
stays in the Waterman's.
What's your favourite comfort dish off the menu for a wet winter evening,
Sarah?
Oh,
nice pie and chip.
Yeah, can't beat pie and chips.
No.
Now, we have lots of things in common. We're both called Sarah. We both lived in Italy.
We're both Pisces.
I'm a Connolly, so there's Irish in there. And we're both creative. You make the most wonderful fairy house lanterns. Now, tell me a little bit about them.
Oh, they're made out of polymer clay. They're great for anxiety.
And no, where did you come up with the idea, or did you see one made and think, I could have a go at doing that, or...
I don't know how it evolved. It just happened. I just like playing with it. It's like it's like Play-Doh and for adults.
It is.
And I enjoyed it.
And they come together and you make these really beautiful little fairy houses.
Yeah, they're
really
good.
Fantastic.
They are fun.
And one quick last question. Have you had any celebrities in?
Oh, we've had Paul Young sleeping in the car park because he didn't know where his room was. He forgot. He came back from a gig. We've had a few.
Oh, so. Awesome. Well, I could chat to you all day, Sarah, but you've got to go and it won't be long till you're opening up, actually. We're here with our coffees, but it's not long till you set off. So I'll let you go and back to you in the studio, Julie.
Yeah, you put the coffee, you put the beans up in the grinder. You put the beans, goddammit, in the grinder. You put the beans in the grinder. You pop the beans up inside the grinder. You grind it up, and then you put a little grounds in the filter. You put the coffee down in the filter, and then you put the filter up in the top of the coffee maker. Gotta get that drip, gotta drip, 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 a drip, a drip, a drip, drip, drip. Got to drip, a drip, a drip, drip, drip.
Sarah Louise Connolly, you're absolutely brilliant, and I'm gonna miss you. Thank goodness you're coming to Talk Less on Saturday. We need to see you in the studio in real life. Thank you so much for being with Sarah Jane Gresty from the Waterman's Arms. And I so want pie and chips right now, please. Is there any way that the Waterman's can send some... Do you want some, Martin? Yeah, he wants some too. Yeah, two portions, please. So we've got to progress, haven't we? We've got to get a little bit of music on the go. So shall we have, I think a bit of Dolly, actually. Come on, Dolly, darling. Do you like Dolly? Dolly Parton, you know, from America. This is 102.5 FM, Sound Art Radio.
Beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring, your voice is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene. He talks about you in his sleep, and there's nothing I can do to keep from crying when he calls your name, Jolene. Understand how you could easily take my man, but you don't know what he means to me, Jolene. Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 please don't take him just because you. Choice of men, but I could never love again. He's the only one for me, Jolene. I had to have this talk with you. My happiness depends on you and whatever you decide to do, Jolene.
A little bit of Jolene and Dolly before we bring Sam on the program. I'll just check if he's ready. He's in the green room. He's powdering his nose. Sam, are you writing a poem? Come on, get on the show. Come on, Sam. Here he comes. Great. Oh, okay. I think it's time. It's that time, isn't it? Thank you, Dolly. Sam, okay. I'm here in Topless at the Rutherfold with my dear friend, Sam Richards.
Morning, Sam.
Morning.
We've had coffee, haven't we?
We've already had coffee, yes.
It was gorgeous from the ball.
Very nice, outside the ball.
Yeah, and it's sunny and beautiful. We're catching September in its most glorious. So all the noises that you hear in the background are probably Sam's orchestration already beginning, because we're here to talk about something rather fantastic that is happening at Ashburton Arts Centre. Let's wind the clock back. Tell me how it all began. This project that you've organised with Andy Williamson, when did it all start in the composing, as it were?
Right, there's a short story and a long. I'll tell you the short.
Okay.
We maybe get on to the long.
Okay.
The short story is that I teach composition to a few students, and there was this particular woman I teach to who lives up on Dartmoor, and she's one of the few. In fact, I don't go to anybody else's house other than hers, and this is long standing. And I wanted to give her some example of how you could use an existing melody to make a completely new piece. So what you do is you take a tune, and I took an old folk tune, but you could do it with a popular song, whatever. And you say, you look at this piece of music and you break it down into its components. So for example, there are little tiny phrases. There are little cells of maybe two or three notes. It's in a certain modal scale. It has a certain rhythmic feel. There are all sorts of things you can ask for. And then you extract these from the piece of music.
Yeah.
And as it were, you put them all in a basket. I call it a matrix, because then, after that, you can birth whatever you like. You can take out, say, a couple of little melodic cells and say, OK, well, I'll use those, but I'm not using them in the way of the original tune.
You know?
So I gave her an example of this, and it was the English folk song 17 Come Sunday, which is still in oral circulation, even in Devon. And I wrote a little piece based on this, and I showed her how it was done. And that was all very good, educational. And I got completely fascinated with that, so I thought, well, I'll do it again and again and again. And suddenly it just took over. It took over my life. And it was only earlier this year, may have been February sometime, when this started, and it ended up as 56 little pieces.
Wow.
Which divide into like four books of 14 pieces in each book. And I just thought to myself, nobody's ever going to want to sit and listen to this lot, you know, it's going to be at least 4 hours. I'm talking with Andy Williamson, as you said, who's an impresario of the Arts Centre in Ashburton. And we came up, I don't know whether it was him or me actually, but we came up with the idea that we would do four concerts, just an hour each, and that's what we're going to do. I'm going to play on the first, well, all Sundays in October, that's four, and there's a fifth Sunday left over in which I'm going to do an improvised concert, but probably the improvisations will refer to some of the songs I've used. I don't know, because it's improvised, but what it turned into was a sort of internationalist project, really. So I started with this English folk song, which I know very well, and then I've got all sorts of collections, either in books or on recorded media, and I got all the continents of the world, practically. I don't think I've got anything from Australasia, funnily enough, but all the rest. And so I've got, you know, tunes from Africa.
That's clever, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and I really like the sort of internationalist agenda that has sort of crept into it, really, because I profoundly believe that. I think that's what we need to develop, you know. So that's how it started.
And that method that you used with the lady on the moor, is that something that you learned along along the way in your career as a composer?
Well, no one ever taught it to me, but I evolved it for myself.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. That's interesting.
There's another theme here, which is the longer story, but it's not that long.
Okay.
So you'll permit me to just say it.
Yeah, do.
Is that the art critic, John Berger, who I had enormous respect for, once said that people, artists, writers, whatever, very often have one recurring theme in their lives, and it keeps coming back to them whether they want it to or not.
Interesting.
And I think his was, he said, the experience of migration, which can come up in all sorts of different ways, right, for him. And mine, and I've been clear about this for years now, is that I have a kind of two-way pull. One is towards, let's call it, the everyday, the vernacular, the common, you know, whatever we call it. And the other is sophisticated, like art music. And I'm comfortable in both. And I've always wished that there could be some kind of conversation between them, you know? And so an awful lot of my composed music draws on those sort of sources, like this current project has in a big way, you know? On the other hand, they have this kind of weird sort of schizophrenia in a way, split personality, that if I'm totally in that sort of folk bag or totally in that art music bag for too long, I just want to get out.
Right.
I don't fully belong to either, but I do belong to the conversation.
You like the mix of inks?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So it's like I get on well with everyday people, and actually I get on well quite well with posh people, educated people as well, which surprises me. Probably surprises them. But that's how it is, and that's how it's been for many years. Now, this is I've had projects before that try to marry these, but this has done it kind of in a bigger way than ever, I think. And as you know, I did some visual work.
That's what I wanted to get onto. Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Well, they too, in a way, are sort of the same story, although I think most of them, if you look at them, they look rather abstract.
So they do,
It owes a lot to the 20th century's explorations of abstractism and children's art and so on. But each one of them is based on a coastline or a map of some sort. And in some sort of strange way, I'm trying to introduce something of that region or whatever it was into each painting. So they're not as directly involved in like the vernacular as the music is, but there is a connection.
Yeah. Can I ask you how you felt creating the art as opposed to when you're in the music? Is there a difference in your frame of mind, in the way, in your expression, in the way your musical mind works? Did you bring that musicality into your art?
Somebody recently said they thought I did. A friend of mine said to me, these pictures look as though they were done by a musician. And I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Do I feel any different?
Is it a different kind of pleasure, would you say?
Do you know, I don't know. That's an honest answer.
Yeah, and it's a good answer.
I remember, who was it? One quite well-known artist. Was it Paul Klee? Or somebody, maybe it was Patrick Heron, but somebody working on a piece said, now it looks at me, right? That's like, it's finished, yeah?
That's a beautiful expression.
Yeah, and I feel that, whether it's visual or musical. Now it looks at me, now I know it's done.
Yeah.
So I can't, now that's a similar feeling. The actual process of doing things, do you know, I don't think it's that different.
No. So, okay, let's just focus back on the events that will happen all the Sundays of the month of October. Can you give me the title of this? How do people buy tickets?
Well, the title of the overall project is Echoes and Traces, simply because in each piece there will be a slight echo or a trace of the original melody that it was based on.
Yeah.
So Echoes and Traces. The Ashburton Arts Centre have a very nice website.
They do.
And in fact, anything that Andy Williamson does is good, you know. And you can buy tickets from there.
Okay, great.
So you just go there and buy tickets.
Or turn up on the night.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it's not a night. It's an afternoon.
Aha, now we got to the nitty-gritty.
It's from 4 till 5
every Sunday. So that's a handy time, isn't it?
I thought it was a good time.
I do.
Yeah, I think you're more likely to get people out at 4 than you are at 7.30.
I think you're absolutely right on that one.
Yeah. And also they can go home and they haven't got a commitment in the evening. Yeah.
Thank you to Sam Richards for that. It was great to chat with Sam. Brilliant to be at the ball and shoot the breeze, as it were. So don't forget all the Sundays at 4 o'clock at the Ashburton Arts Centre. Now we're going straight on to the Angel Studio to meet the artists. Come on then.
Oh,
well, we were meant to. There we are. Well, I'm at the Angel Studio. It's a very beautiful Friday afternoon. I'm with Kate Osens. Hello, wonderful artist.
Hi, Julie. Thanks for coming to visit us here at the Angel.
It's an absolute pleasure. Now, I last saw you at Birdwood, and honestly and truthfully, I'm still talking about how I walked in and there was this kind of... the way you curated your show, and equally so, this show here, which is part of Devon Open Studios, has also been curated very well. Tell me a little bit, because they can't see your work, tell me a little bit about what I'm seeing right now ahead of me over there, which is really beautiful.
Okay, so this is a continuation of my show in March in Birdwood, which was a wilderness project. And I drew most of my inspiration from the skies and the land of Dartmoor and wild places, like the coastline, as well as the moors. And I just became really captivated by skies. So I've just been experimenting, exploring different ways to express the sky and abstract the sky.
Yeah, and actually, do you know, isn't it interesting, because I came here last Friday evening and I saw your work, and of course now I'm looking at it from a completely different perspective. I'm staring at it from a different angle, and already it's changed.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
That's true, isn't it? I think every single time you visit an artist's studio or a gallery or their exhibition, you're going to see something different in the paintings. I remember when I saw you at Birdwood, you talked about the light in Cornwall and growing up in Cornwall. Yeah. Has that really affected your work?
Yeah, and really I am a coastline person, but I actually live by the moors. But yeah, it's totally in my heart is to be by the coast, really. And yeah, that light. And but actually, it's the autumn, winter, springtime that I love the most, because I like drama in the sky. You know, I find a plain blue sky quite boring, and actually I love it when the storms come.
Yes,
and there's
definitely
continual drama going on, and the more you engage with it, the more you see.
Yeah.
And there's so many more colours in there than you realise.
It's sort of pure poetry, isn't it, when you look at the sky? Oftentimes we're driving towards Dittisham or something like that, and we'll look up, or there'll be a sunset, and we're so captivated, we stop and we stare. And there's something in that, isn't there? The spiritual sort of content of, you know, why you're driven to paint what you paint. And in terms of your process at home and your studio, do you need complete quietude, or do you need funky music like we have got in the background here at the Angel?
I love having music on.
Do you?
Yeah. And I love to move around, and I love to stand up and, you know, just move my whole body when I'm painting on a large canvas and be fully involved with it. And the music really helps with that.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I know there's a guy in Chudley that's taking a course, and he's going to be working with music next time. Now, I know you're here with other artists. Can we grab another artist,
yes,
please?
Yes, we can. This is Lise Van Hee. Hi.
Hello and welcome. This is going to be on Sound Art Community Radio, 102.5 FM, on Monday. And I just wanted to come and get sound bites from the artists here at Devon Open Studio. So can you tell me how you work, and where have you travelled from far to be here, or you live locally?
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for the invite. So my name is Lise, and I live in Dartington, but originally I'm from Belgium.
Okay.
I've lived here 6 years now, and I'm part of this exhibition. And my work is a mixed media work.
Should we go to your work?
Yeah, that's good.
Walk on over. This is good, we're mobile.
Yeah.
Ordinarily I'd have my microphones down, and we couldn't do this, so this is a bit exciting.
Great.
So, obviously, they're listening to this. You've got to describe now.
Okay.
What should we look at? What are you absolutely drawn to in this exhibition as perhaps your favourite piece?
At the moment, I think...
Me too.
Yeah.
I love them.
Yeah.
I saw them on Friday.
Okay.
Yeah. Tell me about them, actually.
So these have grown out of an exploration around... I used to feel very shy.
Yeah.
And I've been working with that for quite some time. So I'm okay now with it. But that was like a journey I did
About an opening up?
Yeah, and that's the way I explore things when I inquire on things. I use movement and drawing, painting, mixed media to kind of create clarity around things in
interesting.
Myself. And that, like, the imagery speak. It's like a dialogue I have, and then I do combine with writing on the back of these. There's
okay.
some writing about, that process I did. So the way I work is quite intuitively start, and then I, with the inks, and
yep.
then I listen, look, and go into some kind of refining of shapes and repetition of lines also, because it helps me. It's like this kind of combination of meditation, inquiry, and letting
things land. That's really beautiful.
Yeah, it's like creating fertile ground.
Someone was telling me about that yesterday, about sort of an internal muse, they were describing it as.
Okay.
But also her process was quite similar to yours. So it's funny, I heard that, not exactly as you've just described it, but similar. It's almost like someone out there is trying to make me listen very carefully, because it's quite a beautiful way to work, isn't it? That
yes.
you're very intimate with your
yes.
work.
Yes.
You're actually building what looks to me like a relationship, what sounds
yes.
to me.
Yes.
Is you're building a very deep relationship with the
yes.
art.
Yes, it's kind of extensions of my being. It's the way I get to know myself.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Of, yeah.
Not
all of it,
yeah.
but especially those kind of way of working. And then I have other processes I do, but this is like kind of, it's quite intimate. And it is quite intimate and always a bit like tender to share. But then if you hear the responses of people, it's like everybody knows these places, so...
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and it's the way I work with it that makes it for myself inspiring rather than a problem.
Do you think that most artists work... What would you say the percentage of artists that work in this way? Because I really do wonder about that question in terms of how people relate to their work and what their, shall we say, motivation is in terms of why they want to create this work. Do you think that... As you said, you're having almost a dialogue with your
yeah.
work, and you're interrelating with it.
Yeah.
And actually, you said you actually discovering yourself within it. I think that's actually great.
Yeah.
To discover yourself.
Yeah.
Because it is a part of you, isn't it? It's your expression.
Well, it's also quite important for me to just be able to let it go. Because
yeah.
it can be like... It's like creating a world or a reflection of a world of experiences and then I get attached to it.
yes.
But, which is okay, but then...
Because it's part
yeah,
of you, that's
yeah,
why.
Yeah, but also, yeah.
Interesting.
It can go in the world. And about your question about how many artists that work, I don't know. I have no really...
No, well, perhaps we'll find out if there's anyone else to talk to.
Yeah,
have they gone walkabout?
Yeah.
Come on down. Let's have a group hug. Should we have a group hug? No, I don't mean that really, because we've got to be careful. I don't want to give you any of my razzmatazz that I've got in my foot. I don't know why I'm saying this.
Razzmatazz, right?
Christian, hello.
Hello, hi.
And I'm so pleased to be at the Angel with you, three, maybe four, if we get
welcome.
Sam.
Thanks for coming.
Tell me about your work here. And actually, first of all, you're part of this Devon Open Studio. How did you all come together? Was it just random, or...?
We came together because last year we also exhibited here.
The four of you?
No, it was a different group, but Kate and I were exhibiting with two other artists.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year, Lise and Sam came in.
Brilliant.
So it's a sort of a very spontaneous collective
yeah.
that we formed.
A wonderful collective, yeah.
And, so... What can I say about that? It's nice to be in the container of Open Studios, because it feels like, you know, then there's a programme, there's people in different places opening their studios and doing shows.
Yeah.
So it's nice to offer work, and there's a lot of people who come round who, you know, go to do the tour,
yes.
which is great, you know.
So. Yes, it's busy time, isn't it, for people doing the tour?
Yeah.
I haven't done it myself, but I'm building up to doing it. Now tell me about... They're triptychs, yep.
So my work is photographic here. They're triptychs. It's a project called In the Space of Seven Breaths. And It's a series of what I call photographic meditations on light and time, and they're mostly urban landscapes. There are a couple of pictures that are local from Totnes, as well as London, New York, and these kind of big cities. Mm. But they're basically about, it's sort of Zen meditation as photography, or photography as Zen meditation. So there's each of the pieces is a triptych. There's a pair of very similar pictures, which were taken very close in time, which are on either side. And then in the centre, you've got a different image, which is quite contrasted with the pair.
Mm.
So the idea is that it's about time between the two images. There's a short moment, you could say the moment of a breath,
mm-hmm.
so the space of a breath. And then the central image is something different. And what that's about is really an attempt to explore how our consciousness always has more than one thing going on.
Mm.
And in the space of a single breath, you know, we will have different things that are passing through us. So I guess these come from moments in mostly urban landscapes where, you know, you get those moments where you just suddenly pause, you know, and something in life which moves really fast and there's always things going on. And then you get those moments where you just kind of pause for a moment and, I don't know, you catch sight of something or you look up and there's the shape of a cloud and you just take a breath. And so these photographs are about those moments when you take a breath and then you just become aware of yourself.
Mm.
And you feel your body and you feel the breath coming in. And then, you know, and through breathing, we're in relationship with our environment. So photographs, what I love about photographs is that they are very directly coming from reality.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's a limitation. It's a constraint as a photographer because you can only ever really make an image of what's there.
Yeah.
So there's a limit on the imagination, but then there's also a beautiful liberation with it, which is that then it becomes a co-creation with the world. And that's what I love about photography, is just, you know, being there and seeing and feeling and breathing, and then something happens, and then
you describe it really well.
That's it.
Why did you call it Space of Seven Breaths? Why seven? Was that just a random thing?
Well,
or?
I mean, in the Space of Seven Breaths, I mean, it's got a nice
alliteration. It's a very beautiful. Yeah, it really has got a lovely title.
The story of the quote is slightly random. It used to be the working title when I was working on the project was Urban Tao, which was a bit kind of descriptive, but then it's actually a quote from, do you know the film Ghost Dog?
No.
A Jim Jarmusch film, which is a great movie. It's a sort of modern American take on the classic samurai movie.
Okay.
And it's about this guy. Anyway, watch the movie Ghost Dog. But basically, it's punctuated by these readings from a samurai text called Hakugari. And so this guy is this this guy who lives on a roof and communicates, who's a hitman, sort of modern-day samurai.
Yeah.
Who's a hitman for the mafia. And he communicates through messenger pigeon
Jeepers.
With the mafia families that he works for.
This is very, you know, very, very intriguing.
It's a very Jim Jarmusch kind of scenario. His films are very slow. They're very visual, but they've got a lot of breath in them. Anyway, so the film is punctuated by the samurai reading these texts. Let's move.
Yeah, sure, of course. Well done,
reading
thank you.
Reading from a book, from this ancient samurai text, which is so the film is punctuated by the modern day samurai reading from this ancient samurai text, which are, you know, philosophical instructions or reflections on how to live as a samurai.
Okay.
And one of the quotes is, there's many of them, they're very profound as I experience them, but one of them is, a samurai should make a decision in the space of seven breaths. It's about samurai being, you know, that there's a Zen quality of you just do it. So there's a decisiveness.
That's really good.
Seven breaths is
really
not a very
advice.
Long time, right? But there's something about if you just know. So it's a bit tenuous as a title, but it's in that spirit of, you know, in a Zen teaching is about being present and a kind of no mind where you just know. Whether that's taking a decision or taking a photograph.
Yeah.
Or, you know, opening up to the sky and seeing this cloud change shape. And, you know, there's... So it's about that. It's a playful, lyrical, kind of slightly random exploration of that kind of spirit.
Have they been received in terms of people coming in? Do you get into long conversations about them?
I do, yeah, there's been some good long conversations, and people draw very different things from them.
Yes.
So some people really go to... Some people get them, and some people get the thing about the triptych, and then some people really don't get the triptych, and they're like, why have you put that picture with that? It doesn't... They're different. Why, you know...
Do you get into arguments
like some,
with them?
Well, somebody just asked me... Somebody just said, I love this, but you should take this away. I want to buy this image. And I was like, well, the piece is this. He was like, I want to buy this image. I was like, oh, okay, fine, you can buy this. You know, so that's a different thing.
It was a negotiation.
Yeah, it was a negotiation, yeah. So, but, yeah, you know, and I think some people, also because we're in Totnes, we're not in a really a big city urban environment. So some people relate to the nature part, the sky,
yes,
and the cloud, you know. And then some people, yeah, people would take it on a very different way. You know?
Seems like it, yeah. I love the pink door over there. I know Sam's in conversation with someone, so I might nick him. Well, and sort of, would you want to come with? Because you're part of this. Should we? Well,
some of these, and then some of these have been reworked.
We're basically sneaking in on a conversation.
I'm just really enjoying the fact that we're four very different artists, but in this space, it works fine.
Doesn't it?
You can get absorbed into each.
Definitely.
Each of our works really easily, even though they're all very different.
Yeah, no, they're wonderful. Thank you, all of you. I'm going to have one last little natter with Sam, but thanks to everyone who has contributed to this.
Thank you for coming to see us.
It's a pleasure. Love the Angel. Sam Regan at the Angel. So you're the fourth artist here.
The fourth artist, or the first,
or the
second, or third.
Well, you, in this conversation, you're one of them. So tell me about your work, because obviously it's on the radio. People can't see it.
Yes.
Have you been painting for a long time, or how did it all start?
Been painting on and off for probably 15 years.
Really?
It's quite a long time. Yeah. This body of work, though, has been sort of going on, an ongoing work, for 3 years. And it's starting to take some real blooming shape. And it's really about the process of relationship with space, colour and form. And how that can evoke certain things, and certain colours and certain shapes and forms will always have a direct response into changing something else.
Did you go to art school?
I did. I went to Brighton.
Okay, how was that?
Lovely. Very good. Very good.
Did they try to steer you in a particular direction, or were you steering yourself?
No. Very loose schooling. Extremely loose.
Yeah.
It was just about investigating and exploring your use of paint, really.
Yeah.
We were kind of left to our own devices.
You have an immense use of colour. Can you explain, say, for instance, this painting straight ahead?
The large work? I mean, there's not a huge amount of explaining to do. It starts with the process of creating shape and space and form.
So it's more about your relationship and building painting it.
Yeah, there's no sort of representational response or main focus. It's really just about that investigation of space and playing with the surface, and how colours dictate other colours in space and forms.
Okay, I just want to flag up that Sam has just been given the most exquisite
ice cream by a lovely
woman who's obviously palsy wellsy. Is she your boss lady?
No, it's not the lady, it's the colleague.
Colleague, all right. Now, when you're painting, and when you're dancing, and when you're out just messing around with your friends, tell me the feeling, particularly when you're painting, it in correlation to everything else you do in your world.
Oh, I mean...
What does it mean, picking up the paintbrush, working on a piece? What happens to you? Do you change?
Well, no. It's quite stressful at times. I mean, I think it's seen as work as being very meditative and sort of free and loose. But it's quite a struggle. It always has been. But again, yeah, it is quite.
But that's exciting.
But then
too,
it is
a way,
contradiction,
it?
Because it is a meditation in a way.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
But the fact that it's stressful and it's quite a struggle at times is an interesting conundrum. But I totally get it. I completely and utterly get that.
But you learn the most.
Yeah.
From struggle.
Yeah.
And pain and loss. And you know. The nice thing is about this is you have a way of communicating your life and expressing things that you feel on a day-to-day basis, and that's what you get out of painting.
Yeah.
It's an investigation of yourself and the things you love.
T- Tell me about actually being here at the Angel and part of this exhibition, and obviously punters, you know, coming in, or just viewers just coming in to look at the work. Is that something you're easy with? You feel kind of excited about?
Yeah, it's fine.
Is this your best bit?
The worst bit's being in the studio. Pure anxiety, worry, fear. Then as soon as it's out, it's fine. Not a problem at all.
So you're unusual.
Doesn't bother me.
I think that's quite unusual.
Once you're at the studio, it's like a breath of fresh air.
Isn't that brilliant? And when you complete, you just go mad. You go, oh my God.
You take yourself out of context for just a short amount of time. And you have that time to just think about what you've been doing. And, you know, what's been going on. And then, back to the studio. And,
it's good.
Another thought load of anxiety.
Sam, we've come to our 20 minutes now, so I just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy your ice cream.
I'm going to enjoy this ice cream very much.
Have the most amazing rest of the exhibition. Tell me, when does it finish? When does it conclude?
Finishes next weekend, 25th of September.
Okay, so if you
begin... It runs for 5 more days.
Brilliant. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you later, alligator.
See you later, alligator. That was Bosun's D'Souza, Van Hee. Digital drawing, mixed media, painting, paper, photography. And that is number 53 in your booklet of the Devon Open Studios. I'm actually holding it. I'm communing with the booklet right here. So that's at the Angel Gallery, South Street, Totnes, TQ9, 5DZ. And looks to me like they are not open on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday, but they are back at Friday. That's the 23rd, the 24th and the 25th. Now, we're going to play some music and then bring our guest on. That is Katya. Katya's coming. Katya Gorry, Moscow Drug Club.
Desert shadows creep across the sand. Natives kneel in prayer by caravans, they're silhouetted under an eastern star. I see my long-lost blossom of Shalimar.
That's the Voodoo Queen. I'm going to get Katya on the line, actually. So she'll be singing in the background. Hello, Katya Gorry. I am so excited. Moscow Drug Club music, wowzer. I'm really enjoying your vibe. Brilliant. I'm playing. We've got it in the background here. I've already played one of your songs alongside of this. This is the Voodoo Queen. Now, I'm very excited about your music. How did you get the booking? Was it did Tracy come looking for you, or you've been to Totnes before?
Well, we certainly play a lot in the southwest of England, and the Barrel House is somewhere that I've had peers play at, and I've heard a lot about. So I just seek them out, really, and got in touch and said, you know, can we please have a gig? So yes, luckily Tracy was up for having us, and we're there on October the 7th. So really looking forward to it.
Brilliant. So they can go to the Barrel House and get tickets online, can't they?
Yes, both. Either. Yes. Okay. Come one, come all.
Okay. Now, tell me about your band. So it looks like there's a number of you that will be on stage. Is that right?
Yes. There's six of us all together, but we usually go out as a five piece, depending on what the venue is. And we formed in 2009. And when we first got together, it was actually just myself, a guitarist, and a violin player.
Ooh.
And yeah, and then it's evolved over the years. So certainly for the last 10 years, it's been the lineup that it is now, which is double bass, guitars, trumpet, accordion, and singing myself, and the guys sing. And it was formed because we all came together with different backgrounds in music. So there's jazz, there's world music, there's a lot of folk in there, there's a classical, you know, some of us were in rock bands, and I grew up in the theater, so it's a real sort of potpourri of different musical styles, which keeps it interesting.
Yeah, I really love your style. I'm honestly really excited about the 7th of October at 8 o'clock. I'm going to be there, unless you've sold out.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah,
that would be a great problem to have.
Yeah, well, we need to get those tickets moving. So, I'm loving the music. Where are you based, actually, Katya?
In Bristol.
You're in Bristol. Okay, so not that far to come to good old Totnes.
Not that far. Exactly. So I think we've probably got some friends in Totnes and area. So hopefully, if they're listening, please come and join us.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. Now, your song is just about to finish, which is perfect timing. Wow. There it goes. So thank you for providing that music for me. Is that Voodoo Queen? Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Mm. And that's one of our original tunes that celebrates, as you probably heard, Marie Laveau, who was a voodoo queen in New Orleans, and quite famous. And actually, loads of bands in the past have written songs about her and about that whole subject, which is a very sort of interesting subject to dive into. So, yeah, it inspired a tune.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on the programme, Katya. Really great to make your acquaintance, and you sound a very good egg, and you look very theatrical, very beautiful on the album cover. So we should be all, we'll be probably bowing down to you going, Queen! No, seriously, thank you so much for coming on the show. This is my last show of the season, so what a great way to go out. So thank you, Katya, and take good care. See you on the 7th.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me, Julie.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, all the best. Bye-bye.
Bye. So that's my last little interview. I just want to say a huge thank you to, obviously, SoundArt, to Lucinda and Chris. Thank you so much for letting me broadcast this year. Thank you to Martin, who always gets in there and helps me on some level or other. Thank you very, very much, darling Martin. To my guests, obviously to Sarah Louise Connolly and to Sarah Jane Gresty, thank you so much for being on the programme. To Sam Richards, thank you. And don't forget, it's Ashburton Arts Centre, Sundays at 4 o'clock, 2nd, 9th, 16th, 23rd and 30th, 4 o'clock for Sam's performance. And then obviously all the guests from the art studio, The Angel, do catch them on Friday, Saturday and Sunday of this week, number 53 in the booklet. Beausance, D'Souza, Regan and Van He. Okay, so let's go out with a bit of Bryan Adams. Take care of yourselves.
I got my first real six string, bought it at the Five and Dime, played it till my fingers bled.